Welcome to my Soul Series. Soul Series is part of Oprah and Friends, exclusively on XM Radio Channel 156. And you can listen to the entire Soul Series collection on xmradio.com/Oprah. There are a lot of people these days who seem to be very conflicted about spirituality versus religion. I understand this because being raised as a Southern Baptist and developing into a greater sense of spirituality, I too had some of the same conflicts. So today I wanted to bring that conversation into the light here on our webcast and on XM Radio. I happened to see an interview not too long ago by a gentleman named Reverend Ed Bacon, who's our guest today. Now, Reverend Ed Bacon, as it turns out, is the rector of the All Saints Church in Pasadena, California. I didn't know this when I first saw him being interviewed, but as I watched that interview and he was discussing how God had sent Jesus into the wilderness for 40 days to grapple with Satan, and that really was a part of grappling with his ego, I thought, that's a cool dude. Never heard a preacher talk about Satan or the grappling of Satan in terms of the ego. I loved what he had to say on that topic and loved the sincerity and authority with which he had to say it. So Reverend Bacon is here, and I've invited him to talk about how spirituality fits in with religion and where religion fits in with spirituality. It's a conversation that hopefully will give us some new insights and a new way of thinking, or not, about our lives. It's uplifting, enlightening, truly powerful. Welcome to Soul Series. Welcome to my Soul Series. As we wrap taping last season, we just completed our first ever 10-week global web class with Eckhart Tolle. That's some of the most fun I ever had, talking to all of y'all for 10 weeks straight every Monday night. Millions of you participated. So far, I hear 37 million of you have downloaded that webcast and were in turn introduced to this radio show by way of the webcast. So I welcome you to season 3 of our Soul Series. There are many, so many of you who I know are who are earnest, and you are faithful, and you are deeply religious, and you're having a difficult time reconciling your religious beliefs with the spiritual pursuit. I have heard from a number of you who are in honest pursuit of answers for yourself. I don't read the more vitriolic ones where people try to, you know, accuse me of being the Antichrist, because I don't need that in my life. But I do understand this question of trying to reconcile your faith with a new sense of spirituality and opening, because I too experienced that, because I didn't want to have to throw away the way I'd been raised, everything I had been taught to believe and felt in my heart to be true. And so a lot of the questions I know that arise, how, for instance, can one who recognizes that Jesus is God also recognize the divinity within themselves? Or how can a person who's Jewish, who believes there is one God, believe in the existence of a collective consciousness? So these are all questions that I know on some level or another many people are having. I had them myself, and I wanted to help you, help us navigate some of those questions. So I thought I would be helpful to invite on the show a bona fide authority on this matter, a man of the cloth, and who happens to be the rector of the All Saints Church in Pasadena, Reverend Ed Bacon. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, Reverend Ed, your other designation at the church, I hear, is Chief Spiritual Officer.
We're always trying to find 21st century language to explain church-ese, church language. Mm-hmm. Rector is my official title, and some people say, well, that's a kind of a spiritual CEO, isn't it, or something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It means you run things there.
I'm in charge.
Yeah, you're in charge.
I'm the old guy.
And All Saints I've heard it described as a liberal activist church. Does that mean it's Christ-centered?
Oh, it's very Christ-centered, because we think that in Christ is the balance of spirituality and justice. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're about, trying to make love tangible in three ways: through spirituality, community, and peace and justice. And we think that Jesus made love tangible. Followers of Jesus, we think he was kind of the paragon of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you teach that Jesus is the Savior?
We do. Mm-hmm. And we, as a Christian church, we certainly believe that Jesus is the Savior and that Jesus is the Son of God, etc.
Right.
But when you are in the pew at All Saints, what you're hearing emphasized more than those rather doctrinal and dogmatic issues mm-hmm. that kind of go along with religion
mm-hmm.
is about your connection with God, your connection with the Spirit, your connection with the cosmos, your connection with other people, and your connection with your deepest self.
Mm.
So that's what's most important for us to emphasize, because we have folks who are abused religiously and spiritually mm-hmm. who are searching, and they want to hear some things that are comforting and challenging and empowering.
Okay, as a man of the cloth,
right.
You're actually wearing the collar, and of God, can you help our audience understand what spirituality is? You know, I have been trying for years in many different forms on my show to not only say what it is on my television show and on this radio show also, to say not only say what it is, but to demonstrate the essence of spirit. And I remember many years ago in the 90s, I was doing a show based on a book called The Anatomy of Spirit by Carolyn Mays. You know, mm-hmm. familiar with her?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're in the middle of doing the show, and I could see the audience, their eyes are glazing over, so because I try to stay, you know, see if you're hearing what we're saying, are you responding to it? And I stopped the show, the taping of the show, and said, "Hey, audience, what's going on?" Because people were listless, their eyes were going. And I said, "This was about 95 or so," and woman stood up and says, "No, we don't get it. I don't get, what are you talking about, spirit? Are you talking about Jesus? Are you talking about the disciples? Because that's the only spirit I know." And I said, "No, I'm talking about the spirit that lives inside of all of us, you know, because you know you have a mind, you have a body, and you have a spirit." And back in, this is the mid-90s, I would say the majority of that audience didn't know what I was talking about. I think we've progressed a little bit now, but I always stumble in trying to explain the essence of what spirituality means. So I'm going to let you take a stab at it.
All right, here's my stab.
Okay.
I think it's the experience of feeling unconditionally loved so much, so powerfully, that you know there is some power greater than you are loving you. This love that you are experiencing mm-hmm. is coming from a great power, and it's filling you so much that you want to love other people. That, to me, is the experience of spirituality. Can I tell you a story?
Please.
When I was 5,
mm-hmm.
I was playing alone in a pine grove in South Georgia, and all of a sudden, I felt enveloped by warmth and light. And I heard inaudibly, in the deepest part of myself,
mm-hmm.
"You are the most beloved creature in all of creation." At the same time I got that message, I also heard, "And every other person is the most beloved creature in all of creation." Changed my life. It made my life what it is. It is that experience of unconditional love that is so overwhelming.
So was this a voice or a feeling? How come I never get a voice? Good gracious. I want a voice like Moses had, you know, but was it a voice or a feeling?
No, it was something that transcends those kind of categories.
Okay. Right.
There's this wonderful story about Elijah mm-hmm. in the Old Testament. And
I love Elijah. You know, when I grew up, I was reading all the Bible stories, and Elijah was one of my favorites. So let's see if I know this story.
Of course you do. You know, he wanted to hear God, and there came an earthquake, and then a wind, and then a fire. And God was not in the earthquake, wind, or fire,
right?
But in the still, small voice.
That is God, in the still, small voice.
And that's the importance of the work that you did with Tola,
mm-hmm.
because he says that we have to go to stillness. He's so right. Whenever we will choose,
mm-hmm.
make a decision,
mm-hmm.
to make time for the experience of stillness in our lives. Like a basin of silty water that's all muddy, mm-hmm. and you let it sit on a table mm-hmm. until the silt goes to the bottom of the basin, and then you have clear water at the top.
That's right. That's what stillness does.
And that's spirituality.
That's a good stab at it. That's really good. I'm joined by the Chief Spiritual Officer of the All Saints Church in Pasadena, California, Reverend Ed Bacon. So why is it so misunderstood? You know, as I was saying, I received so many thousands and thousands of emails, and I was really, my heart was opened up by the level of connection that people received from one another when we were doing this webcast, and you still can go to oprah.com and download it. But there were, as I said at the beginning of this webcast and radio broadcast, a lot of people who were upset about it. One person writes, "What's happening here?" This was posted just July 21st. "Everybody in the New Earth Forum has abandoned Jesus and made Tolle their new Messiah. Jesus did not come to Earth to show people how to be Christ-like." I kind of thought he did, but anyway. "He came to show the path to his Father. He said he will be the judge on how much you've loved him. He will be the judge on how much you've loved him. Then that is how much you've loved his Father. You can't get around that fact. You need to get past the churches you grew up in. Jesus did not create the Catholic Church or any other church out there. You don't need to go to church one more day in your life. You just need to believe that Jesus is what he said." So I don't have a name or address for who did that. Otherwise, I'd call them up right now. But anyway, what do you say to that? And what do you, and this one, spirituality and atheism are two different words for the same thing. Disengage them both.
That says to me.
What does it say?
That these folks are coming from the house of fear. Mm-hmm. We choose to live at any particular moment in our life, either in the house of fear or the house of love. And the house of fear always drives us to put God in a box, put our theology in a box, put our spirituality in the box.
But to say, this is what he said.
This is what he says. And if you depart from it, and if you depart from the language that I use and that I found comfort in,
right,
then you are starting your own church, you're antichrist, you're not religious, whatever. And it's the criticism that comes at you because you are pointing to something that's deeper and more universal.
This is what's so interesting to me, is how much vitriol, how really angry and impassioned people can become in attacking that which goes against the wording, just the very wording.
Precisely.
And if you're saying that you're a Christian or whatever religion and you're coming from a place of love, how is that possible?
One of the things that I can do to quiet mm-hmm. my anxiety and my fear is to find certainty. And then if someone challenges my certainty, then I attack. And that attack has come from the house of fear. And I think that's what's been going on with you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You have to respond with love.
Yes.
You have to stay on course. When I was reading about the phenomenon that we're addressing today, the kind of persecution you've gotten, uh-huh. the kind of resistance you've gotten, Chuck Yeager came to mind. He was the guy who first human being to fly faster than the speed of sound,
uh-huh.
broke through the sound barrier.
Right.
He landed. The media came up and said, "What do you have to say about this?" He said, "Just before you break through the sound barrier is when the cockpit shakes the most."
Wow.
And every leader, every pioneer has known just before a breakthrough, the cockpit was shaking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens, I think, as we are trying to go deeper in spirituality,
mm-hmm.
which means go wider also, because there's this connectivity with every other human being. Because when you find and discover the divine in yourself,
right.
you know that that exists in everyone else, and that no one is advantaged before God. Whoa, you're talking about ALL, all.
I know, but I understand how people can feel that. Because this was a very difficult concept for me to accept, being raised Southern Baptist and believing, as I still do, that Jesus was the divine. So to say that the divine is in me sounds like you are comparing yourself to Jesus.
Jesus over and over said, as you well know,
the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Exactly. And the kingdom of God is within you.
Yes.
And your faith has made you well. Mm-hmm. And the first chapter of the Gospel of John says the light that was in every human being is now come into the world. Mm-hmm. The Bible itself talks about the divinity within each one of us.
Right, right. If you choose to look to see that.
But if you don't examine Scripture for yourself.
Right.
And read it meditatively and spiritually, and just take what the preacher's saying, and don't have your own thought processes going on, then you are going to miss an awful lot of sacred Scripture.
Yes, and I think that a lot of people who have criticized A New Earth and Eckhart Tolle's writings certainly haven't even read any of it.
No.
Because if they'd read any of it, you'd come to a better understanding, or maybe be open to a better understanding.
Eckhart quotes Jesus more than anybody else.
So why is there this fear? You know, what I understand the essence of A New Earth to be saying, among other things, is to bring a greater sense of consciousness, a higher level of consciousness, and to let go of your ego, take yourself out of your, you know, thinking head all the time, and allow the higher self, the greater self, the soul of you, the higher consciousness of yourself, to be present at all times. That's the essence to me of what he is saying. Why would that cause people to be fearful?
If these people have developed a theology that makes them dependent on a doctrine or a dogma, they are not interested in being liberated to trust their inner voices.
So what's the difference between doctrine, dogma, and true religion, being a religious person?
My faith, my spirituality, is what I live for. It's actually what I would die for. My doctrine and my dogma is what I would kill for.
I see.
It gives me that kind of intellectual certainty that actually becomes my God substitute. So I'm no longer connecting with God's voice inside me.
Because if you actually really felt that which you speak of God, if you actually really felt that, you would only be able to come from a place of love.
Precisely.
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 And that is what spirituality is.
Precisely.
Yeah, is being able to, it's the feeling part of the dogma.
That's correct.
Yeah.
It is loving God with all your being.
Yeah, with all your being.
Heart, mind, soul, and your neighbor as yourself. It all goes together. But it's that love experience that's much deeper than the intellect.
Okay, so how is it that we've gone so, of course, is it because there have been so many charlatans, both in the so-called New Age movement and in, you know, traditional religion? Is it because, I don't know, why is it so misunderstood and attacked?
The tradition of false prophets.
Yes, of false prophets.
Is an old one.
Yeah.
You know,
will be with us always.
It will be with us always.
Yes.
And these folks are doing it for their own self-gratification.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not interested in empowering everyone.
Mm-hmm.
They're interested in filling the pews instead of filling the hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And so the great thing about an independent, popular expression of the truth, as in Tolle's work, as in your work, is that it encourages and empowers people to think for themselves, to feel for themselves, and to have a connection. That's what's really underneath that notion of the priesthood of all believers, so that you don't have to have a priest to tell you everything that's true. Unfortunately, sometimes when we get into an anti-Catholic or anti-priestly position, we still fill that with a charlatan, with a false prophet, with some kind of external authority figure. And what Jesus is saying to people when he says the kingdom of God is within you and your faith has made you well is that you have this divinity inside
you. There it is.
You.
It's there.
You are your own priest, which leads you to God. It doesn't separate you from God, but it does separate you from having to have an external authority.
And that's what people fear.
That is so scary to so many people who live in the house of fear.
Well, I first learned about Reverend Bacon when I saw Guy Ritchie. Everybody knows Guy Ritchie, who also happens to be married to Madonna's. He did a documentary called The Ego Has Landed. And in it, you talked about God sending Jesus to the wilderness for 40 days to grapple with Satan. We all know that story, those of us who are Christian. Do you believe Satan and the ego are one and the same?
I do. And
I know I heard that on there, and I thought, well, that is a new way of thinking about it.
Save us. Save me. Please save the human race from people who think that the devil is purely external. For us to talk about evildoers as though evil exists outside of us instead of the fact that we have to struggle ourselves with evil within us.
Yes, yes.
That leads us to kill. That leads us to be violent. That leads us to abuse other people because we can't see that we have evil within us.
And so then the evil within us, individuals, becomes a collective evil when all of us, you know, agree to do or not do a certain thing, to treat people well or not, to allow human rights or not to allow human rights, to cause wars or not cause wars, and how we treat people in the process.
Indeed.
Yes. That is the manifested evil inside of us coming into the collective to become one that you could call the devil.
Correct.
Okay.
And Satan, or Satan, which means the deceiver.
Yes.
Uses fear as primary instrument.
But hasn't the Christian church, though, for years taught us? I mean, I grew up believing that the devil was something outside of myself. But
unfortunately, it has.
Mm-hmm.
And like all religious experiences, there are competing voices and competing forces in every religious experience. The Christian church has also called us to confession and has also, in the central prayer that we all are taught to pray,
yes,
talks about save us from the time of trial, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgive us our trespasses. We are trespassers against ourselves and other people. And so there is this competition within Christianity that dogmatic, conservative, rigid, literalistic Christianity oftentimes doesn't pay attention to.
Okay, so tell me this. What do you say for all the people who've, you know, been raised like I was, raised in the church, went to church Wednesday night, prayer service Friday night, Sunday night, Baptist Training Union, the whole thing? Yeah.
Your question is, what do we say to all of these people about how to reconcile?
Yeah.
Is you follow grace.
You follow grace.
It's important to understand what grace feels like. There's an affect. You know what I mean when you say, I've just been to church. I've just had church. You can have, or I just had a glory attack. I mean, you can have glory attack in the cab, right?
Yeah.
It's where you feel all of a sudden overwhelmed by God's goodness.
Yes.
And you didn't deserve it. You didn't merit it. God just gave it to you because God loves you.
Mm-hmm.
That's grace. To the degree that we follow grace instead of trying to get out ahead of it and explain everything, grace will lead us to the reconciliation point that you're talking about, reconciling our minds and our hearts, our souls and our intellects, our doctrine and our spirituality. The reconciliation point is there if we will follow grace.
And how is it? How do we follow it? By what we feel?
By what we feel.
By what we feel.
Grace has an affect to it.
Okay.
And it's, well,
what does that mean specifically when you say follow it? It means if I'm conflicted between what I've been told and raised to believe, doctrine, dogma, but this idea of feeling something deeper.
All right, I'm going to talk Bible to you here. Mm-hmm.
Talk Bible to me.
Jesus said, you can judge a tree by the fruit that it bears.
Yes.
Paul, St. Paul, says in Galatians, there are two kinds of fruit. The fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the devil. And the fruit of the Spirit, peace, joy, love, generosity, self-control, magnanimity.
Yeah. Are you feeling those things?
Are you feeling those things?
Are you feeling those things?
And the great thing about Tola's point, which is that we are more than our thoughts.
Yes.
There is a being
behind
or beneath our thoughts. And if we can just stop and say, suffering is in me, or sadness is in me, not I am sad.
Yes.
That was a great distinction he made in the New Earth, you remember. And you say, I'm feeling contentious, disparaging, condemning and judgmental. That's not of the Spirit. That's not grace.
Yes, yes, yeah.
Where can I, in my experience right now, mm-hmm. turn to joy, forgiveness, peace, love? That'd be the Spirit. That's how you follow grace. Simply stop, say, I am an observer of myself.
Yeah, Tolle would say, take a breath.
Take a breath.
Bring yourself back to Very this good. Moment. Yes.
If you have a moment for stillness,
mm-hmm.
say, life's too short.
Mm-hmm.
I want joy. I want peace. I want love. I want forgiveness. I want to be magnanimous toward this person who is abusing me,
mm-hmm.
who is saying vile things to me.
Well, you know, I would honestly say, Eckhart and I discussed this when we were, I think, in probably the fifth chapter or fifth episode of doing the webcast. He was saying, you know, don't allow yourself to take it in. So I really will have to say that I understand that all around me there are a lot of people who have been upset by it. I have not allowed myself to...
Good for you.
...to go there and take it in, because it would literally make me sick.
Absolutely.
Would make me.
Yeah, it's toxic.
It would be very toxic to do it. And also because I'm not here on this broadcast or any other.
Or in life.
Or in life to try to convince anybody of anything.
No.
Of anything.
No.
And I know that when you are able to get out of your mind and let go of your ego thoughts and be still with yourself, that something really powerful can happen for you. And that's really all I wanted, was for people to try to experience that. Do you think intuition is the voice of grace?
Intuition plays a very important role. I speak a
intuition,
lot.
Intuition, instinct, listen, that thing that you feel inside.
I had a conversation with my son two nights ago. Mm-hmm. He's looking for what he's going to do in life right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about the role advisors play.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, son, take in all that advice, but you have to be the president of your cabinet. Use all those voices as advisors or your cabinet, but you're the president. And the way you have to obey is to obey this voice inside. And people who don't practice listening to that voice, that's a voice that has to be exercised just like you have to go to the gym.
That's right.
You have to exercise that puppy every day.
That's right. And people who don't listen to that voice, there are a lot of people who don't even know they have the voice.
And they've been told.
That's right. That other
by
people's
external
voices,
authority,
yes.
That they're their voice. I am your voice. I shuddered once at a dinner party. This was early in my ministry, sitting next to a member of a parish where I'd now become rector. And she said, I expect you to tell me everything to think.
Wow.
I said, you're going to be very disappointed in me. My job is to do the opposite.
Someone said to you, I want you to tell me everything to think?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I want you to tell me everything that's right and wrong.
Wow.
I said, I'm so sorry. I mean, I felt so sad.
Can't do it.
No. Shouldn't do it.
And shouldn't do it. And won't do it.
Save me from folks who tried to do that for me.
That's right.
Please.
Well, you know, a half hour is gone.
What?
And can you believe that?
No.
Yeah. So I know, join us again next week for part two of our conversation on insights in spiritual conversions. So we'll be talking some more. Thanks for joining us on Oprah and Friends, XM 156, or here on Oprah.com, or wherever you're seeing me right now.
These are some of my favorite conversations.
To hear more, sign up for a free 30-day XM Radio trial by going to www.xmradio.com/Oprah.